want to talk about tonight. You have probably heard the old proverb, spare the rod, spoil the child. Maybe you have tried to find it in the Bible. The truth is, while it's not in the Bible, it is probably a misquote. I want you to turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Notice that emphasis on chasteneth him betimes. It carries with it the idea of being diligent to discipline. The discipline, by the way, is not a synonym for a spanking. It is part of the process, but it is not a replacement word for it. You see, it's our job or responsibility as a parent to teach, to guide, to correct, to lovingly direct our children. And spanking is one of those tools that are in our toolbox to help us to do those things. You know, you don't often think of Psalm 23 probably when you are thinking of rearing your children. But it's interesting to me that as we look at Psalm 23, it talks about thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Why would it be that a rod and a staff, those things that are used for correction, bring comfort to the sheep? Well, the shepherd's tools were a staff to guide the sheep, and a rod oftentimes was to redirect them. And to some extent, the concept of spanking comes from the rod. But the other side of discipline then would be the staff. It brings us more tools to put in our toolbox. But what would happen is the shepherd would be bringing their sheep up to whatever pasture they're going to go, and perhaps one of the sheep would see something that it found interesting and start going away. Well, he didn't take the club and beat it. He'd take that staff and guide it back into the fold. In a sense, our job as parents are to shepherd our children's heart. There's a book by the title of that name by a fellow by the name of Ted Tripp. It's a worthwhile read for parents. But I'll tell you, the idea of that guiding back in is we as parents are to lovingly correct our children, not just to punish or give retribution. We spend an entire Sunday night talking about that. But we would be wise, I believe, to use our staves more than our rod. That is not to say to lay aside the rod. It's necessary. But we need to correct and train, not just focus on those things which need fixed, but teaching them what is correct. Do you realize if you constantly tell your children what not to do, you are eliminating options for them? But if you don't give them what is acceptable, they still don't know which option is okay. What that leads to is frustration, exasperation. And so not only do we guide or use the rod, but we use the staff as well to bring them in the line. We show them what direction is right. We tell them what is acceptable. That is the part of the training of the children that we are responsible to give to them. You know, part of discipline is establishing boundaries. And boundaries, believe it or not, give comfort to children. Now, don't ask them. They're not going to tell you that it brings comfort. I like playing in the road. I don't care about traffic. You know, I want to eat candy. I don't care if I get a sore stomach later. It's the here and now that matters. You see, we put boundaries in to protect them. Listen, the Lord does the same thing for us. So often we would say, listen, if it were up to me, I'd do this. but it'd be terrible for us. And so the Lord says, listen, that's off limits. I'm calling that sin. Don't do it, because I know what's best for you. And do you realize that as you put boundaries in the lives of your children, you are helping them then to accept the boundaries that God is going to ultimately put in their lives for the rest of their lives after they leave your house? We ought to provide comfort and correction, encouragement. And by the way, we ought to take time to intentionally praise them when they are doing right. Probably should be more often than occasionally, but sometimes you got to work to get to that occasionally. If we don't recognize their efforts, again, I believe you're going to be exasperating them. They'll come to the place where they say, listen, if I can never please Dad, why even try? It is easy to focus and get focused on only those things that you think need work in your children's lives. Now, praise the Lord. Anybody that says, listen, my child needs some help in these areas and their character needs to grow in this area, that tells me that's an involved parent. They understand and know their child. Remember, we talked about knowing your children. But the honest truth is we can want to fix them so much we forget about the progress that they are making. And we need to make sure that they know that we see that they are growing. You know, one of the strongest statements about discipline, I believe, is found in Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. You can turn over there if you'd like. I'll read them to you. If you don't turn, I'm still going to read them to you. It says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, I think it's important, but we're live streaming this, and so I want to make very clear some things. And even if we weren't live streaming, I'd want to make sure you understand. Somebody asked me, am I going to live stream this? I said, yeah, this truth needs to be taught to parents anywhere that's willing to listen, because they're biblical truths. The first thing I want you to notice is the word beat, okay? In our 20th century mindset, beating is taking somebody and what you see on the news when somebody's down on the ground and they're getting kicked, they're getting a beating. That is not what the Bible is talking about here. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever give room or excuse to abuse a child. Let me make it very clear. Proper biblical corporal punishment done biblically is not abusive. We do not advocate in any way, shape, or form the abuse of children. Not physically, not mentally, not sexually, not even emotionally. Do you understand? God has not given you the most precious thing that you'll ever have in your life outside of salvation, the gift of children, to abuse them in any way. But the word does mean to strike or to smite. And so there is leeway there for corporal punishment. Now, just like you have to know your child to understand how to direct them, you need to understand what it takes to get through to them. If you understand, it maybe I need to be a little bit more specific. There are some children that you may be able to give them a look and a swat, and they're repented, they've gotten right with God and everybody else, and there may be somebody that you just say, well, listen, you're getting three or four or whatever, you know, you think is falls within that realm of acceptability, you understand, and so there is no cookie cutter procedure, although I'm going to talk about procedures in just a minute, for every single child. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to know what that child needs, and you have to know what your end goal is in that process, which is restoration, not retribution. Secondly, I want you to notice that in this verse, in these verses, it talks about a rod. That's an instrument other than your hand. Now, I have, like many parents, by and by, used my hand as a paddle when there was no other choice and the correction could not be put off. There are times when you and I both know you cannot say, wait till later. The circumstances warrant something that needs to be done right there. But I will tell you, God always points to a rod to do the work. I think there's an association there. I've heard of some children being afraid of the paddle. Well, listen, I don't want them to be afraid of my hand. Don't make that the association. But I do believe that there is a place that God has specifically insulated for just such an occasion on a young child. And it's not their face. I read recently, as I was studying for this, finding out whether or not corporal punishment is still legal in North Carolina. And this father had struck his son with a paddle on the bottom of his feet, on the inside of his thigh, had bruised him, and did not maim him or give permanent damage. But let me tell you, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where that's acceptable. God has given the backside for corporal punishment, for the paddle. You know, we discussed the rod, but if you go back and look, the whole point of that passage is not about the rod. We focus in on the rod because the world has said ever since 1942 when Dr. Spock released his book about children and leniency. By the way, do you realize in 1942 when he released that book, he said spanking was a last resort. It wasn't until years later that he changed and succumbed to the pressures of society of his day and said that no spanking was allowable. But even he knew initially that it was a necessity. But because of this overwhelming influence of the world that says there is no need to paddle, they don't say paddling or discipline. They say this: is there ever a reason to hit your child? They want to make it sound as stark and as brutal as possible. But a paddle and hitting your child are not the same. And so the whole point of that passage is talking about correction, about disciplining. Don't withhold it when they need it. God is saying that every child is going to need it. I had to take time out in the middle of a message to talk about technology. But I just got an update the other day. I consider it more of a down date. My screen changes color indiscriminately, so I apologize for that. All right. I want you to think about, personally, the discipline that you've received in your life. See, discipline teaches us to avoid sinful behavior, its dangers, the emptiness, the fruit that comes from living in sin, the natural consequences. Instead, we're to pursue what? Our fulfillment from Jesus Christ. Through a relationship with Him, walking with Him, walking in the Spirit. And so even corporately as a society and even church discipline keeps us from being a lawless and dysfunctional society. Now, keep in mind that we're all, both parents and children, we are imperfect beings. And so our goal in parenting isn't to raise perfect children. Only one parent ever had the privilege of doing that, and her name was Mary. And if your name's Mary, don't get your hopes up for your children. But rather than developing or trying to raise perfect children, we ought to be focused on developing children who know how to make good decisions, driven by godly wisdom found really in His Word. And I tell you, if you will learn the principles found in Proverbs, and you will teach those to your children, think about the advantage that they will have in life, knowing the truths of the Scripture. So it says, withhold not that, Proverbs 23 says, withhold not correction. But you know, there are times where spanking is not appropriate. I think when you are going to spank in anger, when you're going to spank in something that because they've embarrassed you, and or you're correcting them because you're worried about what someone else nearby would think. That's a terrible reason. If you would not correct them at home, you should not correct them in front of somebody else that you think has a different parenting standards. You should be consistent in your walk with them. Now, you may have to raise that if you don't have high enough standards for your children. And I think it's okay to have some pretty high expectations of your children. If they've had an accident of some sort. Now, I think there is a very fine line between a succession of accidents and carelessness. You understand? But a true, genuine accident is something that they didn't, listen, call it an on purpose if it was on purpose, but there's a reason we call it an accident. All I'm saying is you need to have some discernment. But if spanking is to become part of your parenting toolkit or a tool in your toolbox, which it should be done with love and it should be done with consistency. It should be done in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in His direction. And the truth of the matter is, that time of correction can be a time where you are actually drawn closer to your child because they sense the love that you have for them. We say oftentimes, we love you too much to let you do these things. Now, they may not think so at the time, but we're hoping one day they realize it's true. You should never punish your children without a time of instruction. A paddling without instruction is a form of retribution because you're not teaching them, as I mentioned earlier, what direction to go. And so what we want to do is not just stop behavior. Remember, that's not the point of discipline. The point of discipline is to restore them, to have a right relationship. They've broken their relationship with God and with you to an extent, and so you're teaching them how to restore that. That's the whole purpose that God gives discipline to you and I, so that we will restore our relationship with Him. And if we'll teach them how to restore their relationship with God and then make it right with us as parents, we are training them then to have a right and fruitful relationship with Christ the rest of their life. That's the goal. Before moving on, I think it's important just for a moment to acknowledge that while spanking is biblical and right, and it is a tool that's in our parental toolbox, it is not an exclusive way that a child can be disciplined. We talked about the rod and the staff earlier. And so if our goal is to not just change behavior, it's going to take time and effort. Raising children is a lot of work if you're doing it right. Never do you get to go on cruise control. You can't just say, well, they're doing pretty good. Sometimes you might have meetings with your spouse and say, what are you seeing? What areas of their life do you think that they are weak in, or how can we help? You know, and then you course correct as you go through, but you just don't, as Ron Papil used to say, set it and forget it. You just don't keep driving. You've got to look and see where they are. And so a paddling is certainly one of the great things that God has given us to help restore that and help them to see. But that's not the only thing that can be used. When we correct them, we do it not only with love, but with self-control and calmness. As I mentioned earlier, without anger. Now, this can be difficult because your children know how to push your buttons. And so we can, in a sense, react or be reactive instead of being proactive. And so while I think you ought to discipline them, pretty soon from the time of the offense, there are times where you just need to send them to your room where there's nothing fun to do. That's why I send them to your, no, we send them to their bed and let yourself cool down a little bit. Make sure that you understand biblically what you're going to tell them. And we're going to talk about procedure in just one more, in just a few more points. You know, as I mentioned, while paddling is not the only avenue, it really is, I believe, only used for a short duration in the life of the child. The Bible doesn't give us specific age ranges for this type of discipline, but there comes a time where physical intimidation will no longer work, and you have to use the influence that you've built up in the life of that child. I mentioned a book earlier, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Ted Tripp talks about this, and there he gives a little diagram, and one is physical. He doesn't call it intimidation, but it's basically using physical force to help a child to learn how to do right. And down at the bottom is influence that you have in that child's life. And as they grow older, that influence ought to grow higher. And as they grow older, the use of physical force to help enforce those ideas and principles that you're teaching them diminishes. You're not going to tell a 17-year-old to lean over the bed because they didn't clean up the room. Okay? So there's got to be some wisdom on that. And by the way, you ought to do it privately. Privately. We are not to embarrass our children. We're not to make an example of them to the rest of the children or to prove that we're doing our parenting job in front of others or trying to correct an embarrassment that's been made or whatever. If you're going to train them, if you're going to have the biggest impact of their life, you treat them with respect. You take them aside, back to their room. If the other kids are there, kick them out. And then you go through biblically why they're going to receive this punishment. You always point them towards God. If it's you it shouldn't be just you disappointed daddy. It ought to be you disobeyed, and God said that that's a sin. Now we've got to take care of it. We've got to do this. And so as you lay out the offense, it's good for them to help them to see. I learned early on, I remember when one of our children was very young, I won't say which one, but it was probably about 14 years ago. And I asked him, I said, now, why are you about to get a spanking? And he said, because I didn't pick up my blocks. Well, there's a technicality that, yes, that was the impetus for me coming in there, but the real reason was not because of the blocks. It was because he had disobeyed. He did not obey the command to pick up the blocks. And so if you are trying to change behavior, then you say, you spank him, you didn't pick up the blocks like I told you to. But if you're trying to reach their heart, you're showing them that there's a biblical principle that has been broken, and that causes sin in your life, which breaks the fellowship you have with God, and sin will always be judged. That's the lesson that you're trying to get across. You know, parenting is full of uncertainties. But I'll tell you this, the investment that you put into teaching and training and guiding and correcting pays off in children that want to live for the Lord want to serve the Lord. I'm not talking about vocational service. I'm talking about whatever God calls them into, they're going to be faithful to the Lord. Hopefully, your grown kids, your grown children, will be people that you'll enjoy being around. They'll be your friends, in a sense, one day. But your child does not need you as a friend today. Dads, they need you as a father. Moms, they need you as a mother. And that relationship changes after you leave. It's not that you become best friends, but it certainly is a change in that dynamic. But listen, nobody wants to raise children they don't want to be around. And Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." There was a study entailing 2,600 interviews pertaining to corporal punishment, including the questioning of 179 teenagers about getting spanked by their parents. It was conducted by Marjorie Gunnow, and she is a professor of psychology at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I tell you all that to say it's not some Christian psychologist that is trying to skip. This is, as far as I could tell, a secular psychologist who is just doing some research. Her findings found that the claims made for not spanking children fail to hold up. They are not consistent with the data. Those who were physically disciplined performed better than those who weren't in a whole series of categories, including school grades, an optimistic outlook on life, the willingness to perform volunteer work, and ambition to attend college. And as a matter of fact, not only were there more positives, there were less negatives. They performed no worse than those who weren't spanked in areas like early immoral activity. They weren't getting into relationships because they were spanked. They weren't getting into fights. They weren't becoming depressed. She found little difference across gender or races. The only difference she found were those that had been disciplined physically and those who had not been. Now, we don't need secular science to confirm what we already know to be true from God's Word. But it shows that there's an incredible bias against biblical discipline in the world today, and all the claims made by the experts can't stand against the truth of Scripture. There's another study published in the Akron Law Review last year that examined criminal records and found that children raised where a legal ban on parental corporal punishment is in effect are much more likely to be involved with crime. So let me reword that. Places where it's illegal to spank have children that grow up to go to jail more often. Again, we already knew that from Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. No one enjoys disciplining their children. If you do, you need to stop. God has given a natural inclination not to harm your child. And he knows that it's difficult, and there is a tendency for us not to do it because of the displeasant feelings that we have and the unpleasantness of the whole ordeal. And so he tells us in Proverbs 19:18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." That tells me that if we will not chastise our children, we are losing hope for that child. The truth of the matter is this: the Bible is clear in this regard. If you refuse to discipline your children, it is a sign that you love yourself more than you love your child. Let me finish with the verse, the second verse that we started with, Proverbs 13:24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." That is pretty strong language. And the results are clear. Now, we want to do it biblically. We want to do it lovingly. We want to do it in a way that is going to reach the heart of the child and not just change the behavior. There is no room for abuse of any kind, but let not their crying prevent you from doing what is best in their interest. Now, I'll tell you, if you do any amount of reading on the internet, in the secular bookstore, you're going to find time and time and time again that the wisdom of this world is telling you that it's the absolute worst thing that you can do. And I'm telling you, God's word is true, and let every man be a liar. And if we'll follow his plan, it gives our children hope for their future. It's no surprise to me that the world system wants to steal hope from the children that are going to have the most chance to become followers of Jesus Christ growing up in a Christian home because the parents have believed the pop psychology of the day. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary. And I encourage you to do it lovingly, but do it for the sake of your children. Let's pray.